Today is Wednesday, October 31st, and this is Daily Halloween. Happy Halloween and welcome back to Daily DVR. It's a fun day today. Love Halloween. Got the little guy ready to go out. He's going to be a ninja. I don't know what I'm going to be. I guess I'm going to be a Portland stay-at-home dad who has a big beard, because that's what I am. But I do have some news for you today. Pretty fun news. Have a little bit of a breakdown on some awesome documentaries that I checked out last night. I was up way, way too late. And then we might have a little guest here for Halloween. We'll see. We'll see. I'll keep the surprises coming. So I do want to remind you, go over to dvrpodcast.com. Check out all the great podcasts that we do. Also, become a patron. Go to patreon.com/DVR. And if you've been listening to this show, go over, support the show. $3 a month. Give me a little Halloween surprise here. You know, it does help keep the lights on, and I do appreciate it. And you also do get a ton of Patreon-only content. We have done, I think, 50 podcasts in the last year that were patron-only. And you can go back and listen. Heath and I did like a 3-hour favorite albums. DJ did one. Heath and I did a couple film lists. Gosh, we did just so much stuff that's up there. A lot of fun stuff. And you're going to get actually 2 podcasts a week, Tuesday and Thursday, just for being a patron. While everybody else just gets the 3-day and the free show like you're listening to now. So go on over and do it. And also email me, dvrpodcast@gmail.com. I still have emails that I want to get to. But since today's Halloween, I am going to kind of keep it tight because I do want to have time for our guest later. So let us jump into some news right away. Well, the big news is, and now that I am a superhero fan, I was pretty excited to find out. I think that this looks pretty cool that Marvel is planning a Falcon and Winter Soldier TV series. It's going to have, you know, the stars from the movie. So you're going to see Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. They're going to reprise their role. Who else is going to be in it? We don't know. They've also, now they said this before that these guys were going to appear, but they didn't tell us that they're actually going to be in a limited series together. And this is exactly what I was hoping they would do. If you have this service, don't go the Netflix route. That is so boring of doing like a season and then, oh, it has to connect. And then we do one where they're together. It's just, that's so tired. Give us a special limited comic series right away. And I think that this is really fun. And I've got to tell you, I have totally been converted and I'm excited about this. I really can't wait till this service comes out. It's going to have so much great Disney stuff on it. There's also going to be a Loki and Scarlet Witch TV show. And this is a great way to get these bigger stars, just like they'd be on Netflix or HBO or Hulu or Amazon, put together just a limited series, right? We're going to tell this story. It's going to end. And also, I'm a big fan of things that end. You know, no offense to Supernatural, it is Halloween, the show that will never die. I actually want to give a shout out to anyone who watches Supernatural. I want to know about this show. So tell me about it. This is, Kellum had written in and asked me about my film holes and, you know, things that we all kind of have missed along the way. And one of my TV holes is a show like Supernatural. I don't know anything about it. Now, I just did show Lachlan the first 5 minutes of the first episode, and then like the mom is looking crazy and he started crying. So I'll have to go back to that when he's not around. I don't know why I showed him to that, but it's Halloween, you know. Sometimes you got to scare the kid. But back to Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier. I think this sounds really cool. from the movies, obviously, there's so much connection and story that they've laid down. And I'm a big fan of Sebastian Stan. I really am. I think that this guy is a really good actor. So this is kind of cool. And Anthony Mackie's cool too. So I'm excited for it. Looks fun. Can't wait for that series to come out and for the streaming service to come out. Now, today, unfortunately, now I'm a big fan of The Flash. And unfortunately, Jesse L. Martin, who plays Joe, The Flash's dad, is taking a medical leave of absence because he suffered a back injury on the set. And it's also the reason why he's been sitting down in almost all of his scenes this season. I was wondering about that because he's usually out doing things with them. And now we find out, look, this is real world. And as a person who suffers from a back injury that I got about 20 years ago when a drunk friend of mine picked me up at an art exhibit and then dropped me. I don't know how he even picked me up, but he did. And then I fell weird, and I've had back and nerve issues ever since. So just shout out to Jesse L. Martin. And also, you know, TV and film and the stuff we talk about, people work crazy hours. I'll tell you right now, one of the reasons why I'm sitting here doing this podcast is because I cannot do this anymore. Work those kind of hours. And when you're in film and when you're in production, TV, it's 24/7. I mean, same thing for being a journalist. You never leave your job, and which I say because I was. And it's, when a report like this comes out, I'm like, okay, good, dude, take a rest. That shows that they have a good set, you know? I mean, he tried, and then he said, look, I gotta get better, you know, because I know, and those people who live with chronic pain, just getting out of your house some days can be tough. So shout outs to Jesse L. Martin. I hope you get better because I love that dude and I love the Flash. That was weird. All right. Now, just a little while ago, before I hit record, I watched Henry Cavill with a horrible wig walk towards a camera, trying to look tough, and then swig like some mead and walk away because he is playing The Witcher. I'm not impressed. I'm giving you my hot take here on the show. Not generally impressed with Henry Cavill in general. I mean, I've liked him in a few things. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I actually thought was a fun action movie. A little long, but it was fun. And him and Armie Hammer were good in that. But they kind of roughed him up a little bit here. And his eyes are a little, you know, like teary and weary. And he looks a little harder. But I don't know. I'm excited about this series, this Netflix Witcher series. I've only played a little bit of the game, but I think it's kind of cool. You know, it's basically about a guy in a kind of alternate fantasy universe. He's a monster hunter. So if you played the game, you know. If you don't, you can get it. It's like a fantasy type story. And it seems like it's pretty cool because they are shooting this in Eastern Europe. It's only 8 episodes the first season. Score. No Netflix bloat on that one. And the people behind it are good people. Okay. They've done some good stuff before. And I think it could be good. And Netflix puts a lot behind it. I'm just a little wary. I don't know if I'm going to accept. Cavill's a little too pristine for me. He's kind of a, should I call him a pretty boy? I guess he is. He's kind of, I mean, you know, he's a handsome man. He's got the cleft chin like myself. But I don't know if I buy him as kind of like a rough and tumble guy. He's going to have to convince me. I'm not out. He's just going to have to convince me. That's what I'm saying on that one. But I like that Netflix is doing this. And video games are wonderful, a wonderful, wonderful source of fantastic stories. And I have found that actually the closer they stay to the game, the better. Usually I'm all like, create something new. But for some reason, with video game adaptations, it's just like with the last Tomb Raider movie. If they had just made the first game, that would have been an awesome movie. But instead, that movie was not really that good. So what are you going to do? You know, I think that it's a strange dichotomy there. This is some other news that broke today, which I found to be really very interesting. Now, a couple months ago, Netflix announced that Barack and Michelle Obama were going to be producing or making content for Netflix. And everyone thought, okay, what is like, you know, is President Obama going to do a sit down? He's going to interview people. Is it going to be political? But this is not what I expected. So Barack and Michelle have reportedly acquired Moneyball and The Big Short author Michael Lewis's new book, The Fifth Risk, with plans to turn it into a series under their Netflix production deal. The Obamas are said to be exploring projects, but nothing specifically has received a green light as yet. So that is interesting. Now, they haven't greenlit it, but I like the idea. I know, you know, President Obama was a huge fan of The Wire and a lot of great television, Game of Thrones. I mean, the guy's a genius and he knows good stuff. And this sounds really cool to me. I love the idea of creating content like this instead of doing that prototypical, we're going to sit and interview people or something. This is kind of interesting to see a former president getting involved in creation like this. And if I have not read The Fifth Risk, which by the way, the book follows the chaos and mismanagement that ensued in the Departments of Energy, Agriculture, and Commerce in the handoff from President Barack Obama to President Donald Trump, and includes interviews with federal workers. So, I mean, I'm sure this is going to get a lot of press. You're going to have people on this side and that side yelling about it. I think from a pure perspective, I'm going to take a step back, and from a pure perspective of creation of content, I find it to be supremely interesting. I would be interested in seeing this based upon Moneyball and The Big Short, which were both fantastic, just based on that. So the fact that Barack and Michelle are involved in it makes me even more happy. I think this is going to be super cool. Who knows? It could be, you know, this news wouldn't leak unless it was leading to something. So it could be a couple years before we see something. But I'm pretty excited for that. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And it's an interesting choice too. A week before the midterms. Think about it that way. Very, very interesting. Okay, hey, the BBC did a list. Their 100 greatest foreign language films. This is a really good list. Just give you the top five, and I ain't complaining. Seven Samurai, Kurosawa, Bicycle Thieves, Tokyo Story, Rashomon, The Rules of the Game. What a great list. And I could really keep on going because one of my favorite films, I mean, a couple of these are my favorite films of all time. In the top 20 alone, I would say Aguirre, Wrath of God by Herzog, Panther, Panchali, M, which is amazing, Breathless, of course, classic, Dolce Vita, In the Mood for Love, The 400 Blows, 8.5. If you haven't seen The 400 Blows, what a wonderful, oh man, just a story of youth and freedom, love, expression. The 400 Blows, man, I get chills just saying it out loud, Truffaut. This is a great list. And this made me think of Kellum's email about film holes. And I wanted to kind of go through it and maybe watch a couple of these and fill some of those holes. And I'm going to include a link to this in the show notes. And why don't you tell me which of these, is there any that you would like me to talk about? Or which of these you want to see? Because I think that would be a lot of fun for us to kind of have our own little our own little film club, you know, our own little film club. Now, the last bit of news that I have is maybe the biggest bit of news that dropped yesterday. And everyone went bazonkers for this and that. Well, I have a little bit of news after that, but I got to get to this first, people. I always have more. Which is Naomi Watts, great actress, many, many films, can't even, oh my God, how many can you name? I remember when, what was it, 20-something years ago, what was she in, The Ring or something before that? And people were like, I remember reading something like, Nicole Kidman's friend, Naomi Watts. It was weird the way she, I remember she was kind of introduced to American audiences as like Nicole Kidman's friend or something. I don't know why I remember that. Maybe that's not even true, but does anyone else remember that? Anyway, she has been cast as a rich socialite with a dark secret in the Game of Thrones spinoff / prequel. And everyone has something to say about it. And I'm going to say, sounds good to me. She's fantastic. We don't really know much about what is what this sequel is going to be past this. I mean, we already know, of course, that it is a prequel set before the Long Night, taking place thousands of years before the events of the current Game of Thrones. And we're going to find all about the wall and, I mean, I guess everything. I don't know how far back they're going to go. My inclination, I have a little theory about this, which is why I kind of paused there. I kind of think that they are, it's going to be more than just this one story. I feel like they are going to do more flashbacks, more development from the beginning with this than they did with Game of Thrones, because Game of Thrones was a really a pleasant surprise for most people. You know, a vast majority of people had no idea there were even books called A Game of Thrones and didn't even know it was going to turn into dragons and this and that. It was a political drama. Well, we know that. So start with what you got, right? And what they had then was great acting, more of a British parlor drama. Now they have this sweeping epic, so you got to start there. And I think that we're going to find, I think that this is going to stretch to all types of stories that we hear about. If you listen to Matt's Game of Thrones blog podcast or History of Westeros, and you can hear all about the wonderful stories from A Song of Ice and Fire. There's tons of them. There's more upon more upon more in theories and all that. And it's a lot of fun. And I think that they're going to touch upon a lot of it. I just hope, my only thought that came out of this, and I put this on podcast Winterfell, if you check us out on Facebook or look us up, that this is hopefully not a sign that everybody is going to be a name. I doubt that they would do that. And I really like the way they stocked Game of Thrones with these stage actors and actresses and mostly British. No offense to American actors and actresses, but it just seems like maybe things are changing, but it just seems like there's more of a commitment to kind of stagecraft and acting, whereas a lot of film actors here kind of are based on looks. You know, you look good, you're going to go to Hollywood, and it's a little bit different. There's more of a history in, obviously, in the UK, and they just have that, they have that history there. And I was hoping that it'd be the same. And I think it will be, I think it'll be the same. I just think it's good to start out with a big name. So we'll see. This is going to be great. I'm very excited. The Golden Age of Heroes. That's what they're calling it. All right. Now, the last bit of news was sent over by my main man and your main man, DJ Timothy Hinesworth. And that is this, ladies and gents. We often talk about how much money a movie makes. You know, how much the TV shows make. But what a lot of people, there's two things that people never talk about. and that is video games and porn. Now, I'm not going to talk about porn, but I am going to talk about video games, because Red Dead Redemption opened to $725 million in worldwide retail sales in its first 3 days. And that tops Avengers Infinity Wars, which earned more than $650 million worldwide in its opening weekend earlier this year. So you think about those two, and you think about the way it's kind of portrayed maybe in the press, but also just by people generally have different ideas that they don't think about a video game opening like that. So I think it's interesting that this was kind of... It looks like someone from Rockstar kind of put that out there, because this showed up in a lot of media outlets. And I kind of like that. I think that's interesting, because I think video games should get more recognition like that. And a lot of people play them. They make a lot of money. They're a big part of our culture. And Red Dead Redemption, I'm trying to get DJ Tim Hines to do a review of it. So DJ, get recording, send that in. And, I can't wait to hear about it. I was a huge fan of Red Dead Redemption. So far, it's got like a 97 out of 100 on Metacritic. People love it. There's some complaints that takes a little bit long to get to the main story. I don't have a problem with that. I like that in modern video games, where you play through the learning experience until it kind of opens up to you. So I'm super psyched about it. I'd like to hear if anybody else is playing this, and I'd like to hear what you think. All right. What do we got next? Let's check out a little bit of our premiere calendar for Metacritic. Not a lot tonight, because it's Halloween. There is on CBS All Access. Oh, look at that. CBS All Access decided to become a streaming service and drop something. Tell Me a Story. Kevin Williamson produced series takes classic fairy tales and combines and reimagines them as a psychological thriller set in present day New York City. So new episodes stream weekly. I don't know. I mean, maybe it could be good. Kevin Williamson, remember when he did Scream and then the subsequent 300 not very good TV shows? But, you know, he's done some good stuff. I may check this out if I get another trial for CBS All Access. We'll see. But that's about it. I'm a little surprised, because I did think that Netflix, they're so good at dropping stuff like that with holidays and when you have the time and everything. I thought that they would drop a few more kids things today. So I have to say, I think that that's an opportunity lost on Netflix side, because even Lachlan's home from school today. I opened up Netflix on the kids and I thought, oh, is there going to be a new little scary thing that they specially released today on Halloween? And they didn't do that. And honestly, whenever a streaming or even HBO or whatever doesn't do that, I always think it's a missed opportunity. I remember back in the day, I don't know if anyone else remembers this, that HBO played E.T. on Christmas. I think I'm pretty sure about that. I think it was E.T. and they surprised everybody and it just came on and I watched it, and they used to do stuff like that every once in a while. So Netflix, you're doing so good. Come on, drop something there, you know, do something, put something fun on there. I did miss yesterday though. And I just want to say one thing. There was a great movie that dropped yesterday on Amazon, and it's called Brewster McCloud. It's an old Robert Altman movie. It's Bud Cort. It is a weird movie. Brewster is an owlish intellectual boy who lives in a fallout shelter of the Houston Astrodome. He has a dream to take flight within the confines of the stadium. Brewster tells those he trusts of his dream, but displays a unique way of treating others who do not fit within his plans. This is a weird movie. I really enjoy it. If you're looking for something fun to watch, give it a shot. I just wanted to pick that out there. I always think of like little weird things that appear on Amazon. And that's one of them. All right, let's get to what did I record last night? What was on last night? I'm still down with the rookie, Nathan Fillion. If you haven't caught it yet, people are liking it. And you know what? It's really good. It's a good procedural. Frontline, over the last 2 days, had a two-part series called The Facebook Dilemma, the challenges facing Facebook and privacy and politics. Frontline's the best. Check it out. We had another episode of Native America called Nature to Nations. This is a great series that traces the indigenous peoples of America. Love it. Black Lightning. I'm still recording Black Lightning, though I didn't watch the first season. I only watched like the first three episodes, then I dropped off, but I'm going to jump back on it. I know that. Another great episode of The Flash. Love The Flash. The Mayans, going to talk about that, I think, on Friday. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe Friday. We'll see. And Married at First Sight, Honeymoon Island. Gotta love it. And Married at First Sight, Happily Ever After. Kind of funny. Married at First Sight, for those of you who are reality fans, in 4 seasons, Married at First Sight has 3 couples pregnant, still married and pregnant. The Bachelor, after 25 seasons, has one. One couple from The Bachelor actually were the couple that left the show and got married and had a kid. They chose somebody, but it was either someone that they had previously let go, or it was like the brother of someone who was on the show or something like that. So really, The Bachelor does not have a very good success rate, whereas Married at First Sight has a pretty good one. So I guess the lesson to The Bachelor is to go in reverse and make them get married first, and then you'll have more to talk about. Or you won't, because the purpose of The Bachelor is for them not to stay together, so you keep on watching them on Instagram or whatever it is. But we'll save that for another day. What are you going to do? Married at First Sight. That's about it. Let's see. Tonight, we don't have, I think there's a couple things that are a little taking a break because of the Halloween holiday, but let me see what I got going on here tonight as I pull it up right on my TV. Oh, American Horror Story. Oh, that's going to be fun to watch. It is Halloween, isn't it? And I've been really loving American Horror Story. We got a Good Nature. Oh, I was wrong. Everything's on. Survivor's on. Been loving Survivor. I hope somebody got into Survivor from this show. And Single Parents, loving Single Parents. Before I get my special guest, I want to just talk about one thing which I hadn't scheduled to talk about. And it's just a series of documentaries that I mentioned on Monday. And they are called it's just really simple. It's the Classic Album Series. And it's on Amazon. And there are tons of them. Again, I love Amazon. Netflix is, you know, they push on you what they want you to see. You have distinct categories. It's very well put together, the interface. Amazon is like a hodgepodge of I don't know what. Half the time, you don't know if it's Prime or you have to pay for it. You know, their categories are terrible because they've got so much stuff on there. They'll just put anything. I was trying to think about it the other day, and it's kind of like the difference. I was thinking like video store style. Amazon, Netflix is like Blockbuster, right? Category, category, card. Amazon is, I don't know, it would be like if Walmart opened a video store and it was just everything, like, you know, the extra paper towels that they didn't sell in Cleveland that they shipped to Kansas City or whatever, you know, just how it's just a hodgepodge of stuff and things just appear on it. But then you find all these gems and this Classic Album Series. I am tired right now because I have not been feeling well. I had a little trouble sleeping because I had slept so much to get better. And I was up to nearly 3 or 4 in the morning last night. I watched, first I rewatched the Steely Dan Asia one, and I was wrong. I had said I thought it was put together interviews from other docs, and this was just my memory of watching it 5 years ago, And now, having rewatched it, it is absolutely amazing. If you're a fan of Steely Dan, if you're a fan of production, if you're a fan of music, I mean, they get into the session players that they have. They sit there at the board, fading in and out different parts of the song so you can hear how it goes together. Then I loved the Steely Dan one so much, I hopped to the next one, which was about the band recording the album The Band, which is one of my favorite all-time albums. This was also incredible. Interviews with everybody from the band, Levon and Robbie Roberts, everybody, Danko, everybody's interviewed. They do the same thing where they're sitting there fading in and out, telling you how it's produced, how it was written, where it was made. These are hour-long. They were produced, I believe, this was produced by the BBC. They are fantastic. Then I jumped over to watch a little bit of the Phil Collins Face Value one. I only got through maybe the first 15, 20 minutes. I love Phil Collins, but that album in particular is not my favorite album of all time. I actually preferred some of his Genesis stuff, but that was fantastic. There's a bunch more. I'm going to watch tons of them. I was so inspired. I got so into listening to music. Then I'm on Amazon, and while they're talking about Phil Collins, Phil Collins starts doing, you know, the drum beat from In the Air Tonight. And then they showed him live where there's the two drummers, and they were really getting into the beats. And then he started talking about Genesis, and I got reminded of Peter Gabriel. So then I thought, oh, do they have So? And they do, but it's not Prime. So unfortunately, there are some of them that are Amazon you have to pay for. So I didn't pay for it, but I'm going to wait. Hopefully, they're kind of reintroducing them to Prime. The Peter Gabriel So one will come up. But I was able to kind of dive in and find that Secret World Live, the concert, is on Amazon. So here I am, maybe 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, watching Peter Gabriel perform songs that I grew up on. When I was in high school, I often talk about, you know, I listened to this band Deacon Blue, but Peter Gabriel was so important to me and so meaningful. And I was introduced to Peter Gabriel through Sledgehammer, that dumb song, which now I think all Peter Gabriel fans, you know, you have like Sledgehammer, Kiss That Frog, kind of songs he did, you know, that, yeah, they got on MTV or they're fun. You know, there's always a joyous side to Peter Gabriel. But man, what a concert. This guy puts on, it's such a performance. And just the rhythms and I don't know how to describe the bass, just emotional rawness of Peter Gabriel and his fragility and openness and vulnerability as a songwriter and as a performer is absolutely amazing. Us is one of my favorite all-time albums. When I think I did my favorite albums, I don't know if we talk too much about Peter Gabriel, but I think Heath and I should do a whole episode about Peter Gabriel, because as a young guy who was very emotional and artistic and creative, Peter Gabriel was like a shining light, because this guy is super cool, handsome, successful, awesome, and writes a whole album about going to therapy and breaking up from, it was Roseanne Arquette. And it's just absolutely it just shatters me. I was in tears. I'm sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning watching him sing Come Talk to Me. And then he goes into San Jacinto, which is one of my all-time favorite songs. I love Peter Gabriel. Just, I went on an Amazon hole. And one of the fun things about having this show is to kind of be able to jump on here and talk to you all about it and just encourage you. There's a lot of great music on Amazon. And just thinking about the band one, man. Oh, the night they drove old Dixie down. they went into that and they were talking about that song. And then Robbie Robertson has this part where he's saying, yeah, I was hanging out with Levon and his dad kind of turned to me and said, you know, one day the South will rise again. And then they go into the song and you're kind of like, it's very, they just talk about the way that their perceptions of things through this song, they were trying to communicate a time and an era that is, I mean, especially you think about today's politics, but that's what creativity is, right? That's what art is. You look at the other and you put yourself in that place and you explore what that means to you, to them, and to the world. And these documentaries were great. I wish Amazon was somehow had a freaking curator or something that could put like, you know, the classic album series, like, because even when you search it, you got to keep on going. Like they're not even in order, but if you have the chance, go ahead and do it. Classic album series on Amazon, then check out some Peter Gabriel concerts or this. They've got Zeppelin concerts and there's one on Cream, Disraeli Gears. I can't wait to watch that. Cream, all time. Love it. I got to tell you, I love Cream. I'm such a Cream fan. It's beyond. I think they are one of the all-time greatest bands. Not talked about a lot. And to me, Clapton's best work was with Cream. Some others may disagree, but I feel like that was his best work. Ginger Baker, that's a great documentary. The Ginger Baker documentary. Ooh. Oh, hey, my guest is here. Hey, guest, come here. Oh, look, he's dressed. Come on over. Oh, my gosh. Look, he walked right in. Come on in. Sit down, guest. Sit down, buddy. Okay. Sit down with me. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's Halloween, and I wanted to have on a special guest. Say hello.
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
Good.
All right, so today is Halloween. Are you scared?
Yeah.
Okay, now,
I'm excited scared.
You're excited scared?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your favoritest thing about Halloween?
That we get candy.
That you get candy? Okay, but if you just got candy and you didn't get to dress up and do all that kind of stuff, would you still think it's fun?
Yes.
You'd still actually, think it's
no.
fun?
Actually, no.
You like the dress-up part, right?
Yes. Okay. I like the dress-up part and the candy part.
What are you dressed up as this year?
Ninja.
Why did you choose Ninja?
Because I like him.
Tell me about it.
First, can you unwrap this?
Because yeah, here. I'm just going to take it off your head.
Buddy. No.
Oh, my gosh. He tied something on his lock. I can't even know how to get this off your head. Oh, geez. This is what happens when you have a kid in a costume. Literally live on the podcast, he has tied his head into some weird...
You might have to cut this off.
I might. Okay, for now, let's just keep talking, okay?
Okay.
So, tell me about why you wanted to be a ninja.
I don't know. I just like ninjas.
What is a ninja?
Well, it's like a Japanese... It's a Japanese, like, warrior.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What other kind of warriors are there?
Well, they're... I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I don't know.
Okay, now, this morning, Daddy thought he was be clever and show you the first, like, 5 minutes of this show called Supernatural because he thought it was on the CW and it wouldn't scare you, but it really scared you and you were crying. What happened?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. By the way, the mom was going up to see the baby. And then what happened is behind the door was a guy holding the knife. And when she went to go there, he just stabbed the girl in the knife, and when the guy looked down, she was dead.
But that's not what happened at all.
What? Then why was there blood? And her whole body was like split in half.
That's not really what happened. We saw her for like a second on the ceiling. Remember, there was blood dripping on the baby, and then he looked up at the ceiling. The mom was on the ceiling. You got scared. I stopped it.
Why did the mom be
You invented that whole part about the guy with the knife, and you invented okay. that all
but
in your
how
mind.
But how did she die? Did, how
I don't know. Did you fill that in your mind? That's interesting, isn't it?
Daddy, can I tell you something?
Sure.
How did you get on the ceiling?
I don't know. I have no idea. I think you have your own ideas, don't you? It goes to show you, Lachlan, that's why I wanted to ask you, because the thing that you start learning about Halloween and being scared and stories is that the real scary part is not what you see on the screen or what someone says. It's what's in your imagination, right?
I know how to get this off. All you do is get this, pull it, and then you'll have to get this out, and then yeah, it's off.
Well, what do you think about what I told you about your imagination?
Hey, stop it. What are you doing?
What do you think what I told you about your imagination? Do you think that you're the one who actually comes up with a lot of scary stuff?
No.
You getting bored being on the podcast?
No.
Well, you wanted to be on the podcast. What do you want to talk about? What else? What are we going to do for Halloween? We're going to go to the library. We're going to go around town. Then we're going to walk around here. Now, let's tell the story. Oh, we told the story.
No.
Uh-oh.
Don't do it. Don't say it.
Okay, I won't say it. I won't tell the story.
What are you
going to
do? The story of what?
Of Pennywise the Clown scaring you.
We
told
tell
that story. No, we
no,
told
the
story on the podcast already.
No, I want you to tell it so people
There was a guy down the street.
Yes.
And he came running out as Pennywise. He scared you.
Well, I don't think it was Pennywise, because before I could see him, I was running away. Before I could see him, I was running away.
Oh.
So, it might just be a scary clown. Like Dirty the Clown.
Dirty the Clown?
Yep.
Who's Dirty the Clown?
He eats people.
Did you invent him?
No.
Who invent?
My friend Antoine knows about him. It's actually a show.
Oh, tell me more about Dirty the Clown.
So, what he does is he has blood on his, like Pennywise, he has blood dripping down here.
His mouth?
Yes. And he goes and eats people like vampires, but he doesn't drink the blood. He actually eats them and kills them.
So, oh my, and Antoine told you this?
Yep, Antoine.
Wow, was he, how many other people?
He watched half of Pennywise the Killing Part.
What?
Yep.
His parents let him watch Pennywise the Clown?
Yeah, he's not scared, so.
Wow. He's pretty brave. Well, you know your cousins, your aunt and your uncle let them watch whatever they want, but you won't even watch it. Even if I said to you, let's watch it, you wouldn't watch it, would you?
Nope.
What would you say to me?
I would. There would be either one thing. Either someone getting killed, except my family, or watching it. Guess what I was going to pick?
What?
Someone being killed. I'm never going to watch it.
Oh my gosh. Like, you have a crazy imagination.
I'm never going to watch it. Not even once.
Okay.
Not even one Halloween.
Did you know that your dad... There's only ever been two movies that scared your dad.
What?
Okay, the first movie is called The Howling. And the reason why this movie scared me is because it actually took place in New York City. And I had never seen a scary movie that was set in kind of...
Why did it scare you?
Because I lived near New York City and I recognized some of the buildings. And then I went to New York with my dad like the day after, and I was so scared, and I came home and it was on HBO again and I couldn't watch it and I was so scared. But no other movies ever scared me. None of this crazy movies.
You said there was only two.
Oh, okay. There's one other movie that scared me so much.
But is it about Does it take place at where you lived?
No, no. This was a different one. This was a movie called Green Room. And it's not even a horror movie, really. It's a scary movie about a band that goes to play a punk rock show, and they get involved in a very precarious situation. And it is one of the scariest films that I've ever seen.
Well, what is the situation?
Well, I can't describe it to you, because if I did, you would get scared, and it's a
doll. No, I wouldn't, I promise. Just tell.
Okay, well, first it involves Pennywise the Clown.
God. Oh, are you kidding me?
Just kidding.
Okay, what does it involve? Explain it to me.
Okay, there are some bad people, and they won't let them out of a room.
So they're like trapped in the room.
Right.
Do they ever get out?
I can't spoil. No spoilers on this show.
Okay.
All right. Well, listen, we've been.
When it's done, you tell me. Okay.
Well, we've been talking a lot here. Is there anything else that you want to say to everybody? Talk a little bit about Halloween or anything you want to say to everybody out there?
I do not know. No? I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's just say Happy Halloween in your scariest voice.
Happy Halloween.
Oh my gosh. All right, now you get to say peace out, everybody.
Peace out, everybody.
That was good. You did a good job, pal. Was that fun?
Done?
Yeah, it's done.